Hello.
Hey. Hi. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. So, it looks like we have a hand raised. We have a question. Maybe we should start
there. No, I was raising it to say I was here.
Okay. Raise your arm and say it there.
Present.
Okay. Yeah, you should always raise your arm to say you're here in the class so we know you're there. All right. That's good.
Marcella has her hand up.
Oh, okay.
Do you have that on purpose, Marcella?
Yes, I have a question.
Right.
I was going through all the things we did before,
mm-hmm.
and when I got to the part or process, when you said that we can create a new past, I got
mm-hmm.
lost. I have a question.
Okay. Yeah.
I have a question, yes. The thing is, if you... Usually when you go through something, you don't go alone. Other people is involved in that reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you create this new path.
Yeah.
Do you mean with that at the end of all these processes that we are going to study with you, the first reality or the true reality or how you want to call it, it's not gonna bother you anymore, or you're gonna have.
It's
right to have two realities, or have
why not?
Life.
Are there laws against it?
No, it's not for a law.
Yeah, the point
because
okay.
Tell me.
You know, it may not be that you want to do that. That's totally okay if you're not interested. But here's the thing. When you change something in the past, it has ripple effects in your reality. And so I'll tell you a funny story that happened to me about changing the past. My mother used to always enjoy making everybody around her feel guilty. That just was how she operated. Look what you made me do, kind of thing. Everything was about how somebody else did something to her and blaming you for everything that happened. And I didn't recognize how angry I was about that. But I had a spiritual counselor who kind of pointed it out to me. And so I was house-sitting at my mother's house for about 3 weeks while she was in Europe. And I started releasing all the old emotion about my mother. And dealing with the guilt and dealing with changing the past. So we had a much happier childhood together than I could ever have imagined. And the strangest thing happened when she came back home. This was really bizarre. She thanked me so much for taking care of the house, and she never said anything to try to make me feel guilty. But I could hear her on the phone with my older brother trying to make him feel guilty. I could hear her talking to her new husband, trying to make him feel guilty. And then she'd look at me and talk to me as if there was nothing to feel guilty about. So I wasn't completely finished with the old reality because she still showed up with guilt. Had I completely shifted the past, I would never have even seen her act that way again. But I wasn't completely done with that old reality yet, so I still had traces of it coming in. However, she was clearly very different toward me. The point is, if you know, in quantum touch, and you see how fluid healing can be, how fluid things can shift, well, we can also shift our beliefs, our emotions, we can shift the past, we can shift all kinds of things. And we don't have to know what it means, and we don't have to know about all the ramifications. It's just, is this feeling good? Is it in the highest good? Is it making me feel closer and more loving? That's enough, and just keep moving in those directions. But we don't have to understand it all. For example, I don't understand how to heal a migraine headache. I don't know how to heal anything, for that matter. I don't know how to heal a cut on my finger. But the intelligence does the work. So when you do healing on the past, I don't understand it. I don't understand how subatomic particles pop in and out of existence. I don't know anything. But I do know that if we shift things, They change.
Right. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's exciting. Yeah, so just play with it. Have fun with it. It's not a serious thing. It's something you can explore. You know, I had no idea that we could run energy into the past and have a healing in this moment. But, you know, I talked about it in both the Level 1 and Level 2 Quantum Touch books. Experiences, direct experiences where you run energy into the past and you're changing the present moment. These things are outside the bounds of what most people believe is possible. And yet, we've seen these things happen repeatedly. So, you know, I don't understand it, don't claim to, but it's certainly worth exploring and having some fun with.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Any other questions?
Okay. Yeah, Constantina had her hand raised.
Okay, good.
Hi, thanks. It's not really a question, Richard, but more of a something that I noticed.
Sure.
And it also touches on what the last person was saying. You know, one of the reasons I decided to take this course was, you know, I teach the other level, and I noticed with my clients, I'm an intuitive healer, and I noticed with my clients that, I mean, 90% of the time, when we were going through this process,
yeah,
which I'm seeing now is very close to what, you know, we're doing in this class, that I would notice that as they were having, you know, these emotional releases, et cetera, and the things that came up during, you know, their session, that it also meant something to me. In other words, if we're all one energy, I couldn't say it, but I noticed, wow, I felt that way too. You know, and I've kind of been through that same thing too. So was the healing really about her or about me? And so, or both of us, you know,
exactly,
in some sense, because we're all one energy. So, you know, if that helps, that's one of the reasons I decided to take this class, because I thought, wow, you know, maybe, you know, there's so much I'm not really even addressing in myself because, you know, you're working with other people, but you're not always open to your own, you know, reality until you see it sometimes in someone else.
Well, you know, that's part of the reason the whole reality exists, I think, is so we can see it. So
correct,
we can, you know, we can see see what's going on, and we see the reflections outside of what's going on internally. That's why the symptoms express themselves as old emotions, or I should say the old emotions express themselves as symptoms, because it is reflecting back. But that's why that woman's car wouldn't work. But that's why the crazy guy at the corner is screaming. You know, it's whatever, it's all these reflections of consciousness. And so it gets to be rather amazing. It's totally humbling when you see it in the larger perspective of what's really going on. I think the large perspective, and this is my opinion, is that we live on we live at the University of Duality, where we're these spiritual beings wanting to learn how to operate within a duality of reality, where we experience separation of ourself from Source, and how we navigate through that, and how we learn to love and learn to heal, even though we're living in this crazy dualistic place, even though we're actually as much one with the universe as anything can be, but we still experience ourselves being separate. So the whispers of the reality are expressed, or sometimes screams, through symptoms. And a wise adage said, if you learn to listen to the whispers of your reality, you don't have to hear the screams. And a scream is a very, very loud message. So when you have a little tiny condition in your body, you can actually do the emotional processing. Sometimes it's harder to find when it's very quiet. And then when it gets louder and louder, it usually gets easier and easier to figure out what the message is. I had one friend who had lifelong environmental allergies, and we figured out what the emotional cause was. He processed the emotion, and the allergies disappeared for 2 or 3 weeks. And then when the allergies started coming back, he had the humility to say, all right, what's different this time about the allergies? And he went through the whole steps of trying to figure it out. And he said, oh, I see. Here's this other variation in the symptoms that told him something emotionally that he wasn't dealing with. And every few weeks, he would get symptoms again, but never strong symptoms, maybe 25 or 35% of what they used to be, just enough to get his attention so he could process the emotions and say, ah, now I get what I'm trying to learn from this situation, because the reality is trying to give us messages. And one of the really valuable things about this workshop is I'm teaching you how to think, not what to think, but how to think, how to figure stuff out, how to understand the messages of the reality, which happens to be one of the qualities of internally based self-esteem, is listening to the whispers of the reality. It's one of the ways we get to love and appreciate ourselves.
Okay, let's hear from, is it Marbeth or Marbeth?
Marbeth.
Marbeth.
So my question is, you know, you mentioned about running Quantum Touch back into the past. So looking at these release techniques, is it possible, I would think, it might even move more quickly if we ran Quantum Touch, no?
Well, I think you want to first feel the raw emotion and release it as raw emotion. And then afterwards, if you want to, sure, send some love into it.
Okay.
But I want the raw emotion released with its intensity. Consider if, just to create some kind of strange picture, if anger was like this furious ball of, you know, light or something that's bouncing around and it's being trapped in a box. And what I want you to do is to let it out and let it express itself completely so it dissipates. So then you are free to bring love to the situation, nurturing, healing, and so forth. But you have to let it out. Anger, suppressed anger, is an active emotion. And it will destroy people if they try to suppress it. That's the point of it. Now, after you've released it and done whatever you could with it, sure, send love to it, do all kinds of healing, but it would be very confusing when it's still raw to try to nurture it. It's kind of like that horrible thing that happens sometimes when somebody's very angry and you say, well, put a happy smile on your anger, you know, and you want to just, you know, slap them or something because it's not the time. The time is to express and release it, and then later we can put some energy, positive energy to it. But we have to be where we are at the moment that it happens, which is kind of a nice segue. Are any other questions about where we are up to this point? Okay. I think we're ready to move forward. So now we're moving to the rest of the day's work. And the rest of the day's work is steps 3 through 7. And 3 through 7 is very exciting stuff. The third step is what I consider to be the dangerous step, in the sense that if you haven't done step 1 and 2, then you can get yourself in trouble by trying to jump to step 3. And I have met many people who are very spiritually developed and they really try their best to live good lives, but they made one terrible mistake, which is instead of knowing the emotional cause and releasing the intensity of the emotions, they jump straight into step 3. And step 3 is self-destructive if you haven't done steps 1 and 2. Step 3 is the insight that you realize, I'm doing this to me. Yes, they did it to me. You know, they rejected me. They hurt me. They made me feel like I have to suppress my emotion. But now, I've been rejecting me. I've been suppressing my emotion. I've been hurting myself. I've continued to do to me the very thing that they did to me in the first place. I'm hurting myself. That's what the insight is. And you realize you've been doing this to yourself and maybe even to others. And then it's very destructive to beat yourself up about this. And that's what happens to people who didn't do step one and two, is they end up not knowing how to shift it, but the only thing they understand is how to beat themselves up about it, because the only way they see of being responsible is to attack myself. Oh, you're doing it again. See, you're wrong and bad. You shouldn't be doing this. So by attacking themselves, they think they're being responsible, but that isn't responsible at all. So the third step, so for instance, for the person who is really angry because she felt rejected, and then you realize, well, how well do you love yourself when you feel rejected? Oh, I don't love myself at all. What do you do? Well, I end up rejecting myself because they didn't want me. You realize you end up continuing the vibration that had happened to you, except dad is no longer there, or mom is no longer there, or that ex is no longer there doing it to you. You're doing it to you. And that is the third step. It's the insight where you turn it around. And you shouldn't do the third step until you've done the release work. And you release the intensity of those emotions, and then you feel the intense, and then you use your intellect, because this is a step that takes a lot of intellect to realize, oh my God, I did this to me. I have been continuing to do this to me for years now. Wow, I've really hurt myself. That's the step of insight. Any questions about that one? So that one's pretty clear. So when you just, it's really good to have your list on paper when you do this. You go, oh my God, I have been holding that vibration on myself. I've been, you know, I've been the one confining myself. Yes, no one's telling me to shut up anymore. I'm the one who tells me to shut up, okay? I hurt me, which ties immediately into the fourth step. You're already kind of in the fourth step by the time you get deep into the third step. The fourth step is feeling the pain of what you did to yourself. It's called remorse. And you let yourself feel how you've hurt yourself. And you feel genuinely sorry for having hurt yourself. You take responsibility for what you were doing to yourself. And it usually only takes 5 or 10 minutes of deep remorse to get it. Oh my God, I've been blaming other people for the way I treat myself. Wow, that is huge. And you let it in. You let it in really deeply. And it's like you realize I hurt me very profoundly. And I've been doing it for a long time. That is the remorse. It's very profound. Now, if you were pulling a bow and arrow, you're pulling the arrow back on a bow, if you pulled the bow back only half an inch, how far do you think the arrow is going to go? Well, nowhere. It's just going to drop to the floor. However, if you pull the bow back as far as you possibly can, then the arrow can go a very, very long way. It's the same here. If you're willing to have a profound insight that you've done this to yourself, and then you're allowing yourself to feel the depth of the remorse of what you've done to yourself. When you finally move, very soon I should say, not finally, but when you then move to the forgiveness, it is very, very powerful and very profound. I remember a fellow in Japan hadn't gone to the forgiveness step yet in the workshop, and he said, how many have stopped at remorse? They haven't done the next step. And he raised his hand. I said, where are you? And he said, I feel unforgivable. And I said, good, because now you're ready. Because when you can get yourself all the way to the place where you feel unforgivable, then when the forgiveness happens, it will be explosive self-love, incredibly powerful self-love. It is amazing how far that can go. But you need to have the insight after you've done the release, which can then lead to the remorse. And from the remorse, then we're ready for a forgiveness process. And I've got a doozy for you. Are there any questions about the insight leading to remorse, steps 3 and 4 of the process? Okay, you're all set. Here we go. The forgiveness process is a variant of Ho'oponopono. And many of you have heard of this or know of this, where you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, and then they say thank you. Well, I tried it, and it didn't do anything for me at all. So I created a new version of Ho'oponopono that had tremendous impact. The problem with the way Ho'oponopono was taught was you just keep saying it over and over again about anything, and it doesn't really relate to anything, and so it doesn't have a lot of juice behind it. Here, we've pulled the bow back as far as it can go, and we're ready to release it. So here's how you do this variation on self-forgiveness that is explosively powerful. When you're having a conversation with yourself, when you're forgiving yourself, it's kind of like there's two of you. There's you forgiving you. So it's almost like whenever you're having a conversation with yourself, it's like there's two of you in a sense. It's not schizophrenic, it's just how it works. What'll I do now? Well, I think we should do this, or I should do this, or whatever. So you imagine you sitting in front of you. So I'm sitting here where I'm sitting, but I'm imagining I'm going to forgive me, and I visualize myself facing me, you know, a foot, 2 feet in front of me. And we are both feeling tremendous remorse at this point. And I say to the one sitting in front of me, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And the other one, the one in front of you, talks back to you and says, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And you just keep going back saying, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then after 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, however long it takes, you may either get a signal or you take a chance. But you say to the one in front of you, I'm sorry. You say, I forgive you. I love you. And then the other one still saying, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. And you say, I forgive you. I love you. And the other one saying, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. And you're going back and forth like that until the other one says, I forgive you. I love you. And you're going back and forth saying, I forgive you. I love you. I forgive you. I love you. But you're taking your time. You're not just doing it fast. You're really feeling it. And then at some point, that begins to shift and it becomes, I love you, 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 I love you. And then the self-love becomes uncontainable. And that goes way beyond forgiveness into self-love. And that it turns automatically into step 7, which is the explosive self-love, becoming overwhelming spiritual self-love, as I'll call it. So That's how you do it. You go from I'm sorry, please forgive me, to I'm sorry, please forgive me, to I forgive, you know, so I'm sorry, please forgive me, to I forgive you, I love you, back and forth until that just becomes both going, I forgive you, I love you, too. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. So that's a process of self-forgiveness. And it really works effectively if you've done the other steps. And the better you do the other steps, the better it works. So the release happens. Then the insight. Then the remorse. And then the forgiveness. And then the self-love follows in track. Any questions about this? Very quiet out there.
You're doing a very good job explaining.
Oh, good,
no
good.
Questions.
All right, good. So this is the entire process. And so what I'm going to want everybody to do is, after the call is over, to see if you can do the whole process or see how far you can get with the process. And those who are ready can go all the way through to the other side. Those who may feel that you want to do a lot more work on it before you get into the other steps, you know, you can just keep working with release for a while. You can go at your own pace. This is your process. And you can, you know, do what seems appropriate at your own speed to make that happen. But this is the essential way that you can actually take something from I have a symptom all the way through the discovery of the emotional cause, through the release of those intense emotions, through the insight that you did it to yourself, through the remorse of hurting yourself, through the forgiveness of hurting yourself, into the self-love. And as I like to say, not only can the symptoms disappear, but people may feel incredibly grateful for having had the condition, because the condition showed them how they had stopped loving. And I've heard this time and time again from people who had processed and released those intense emotions and had incredible healing as a result of knowing what was true and forgiving themselves completely. And it doesn't matter how many years you've been holding on to something. It's kind of interesting to me how Bruce Lipton and others have been pointing out how the epigenetics are fluid and changeable, and conditions that people often call genetic are not locked into place. Like there's no way of shifting these things at all. They are very fluid. And we don't know the limits of what's possible. It's been shown many times with quantum touch. But here, whenever the quantum touch work stops working, for whatever reason, you can actually go in, find emotional cause, and deal with it. Because energy may not be the answer to the question. Energy is a great answer to many questions, but it may not be the answer that's needed now. Sometimes we actually have to go deeper into those core emotions. And I really applaud everybody willing to explore the dark spots, the hidden areas, the blind spots, because, you know, the blind spots are by definition invisible, but we have to go in and see what we've been hiding. And then bring light to that. So, any comments or thoughts?
Constantina?
Yes. Richard, if the emotion feels more powerful to a person than the condition. Would you address one emotion at a time, you know, as opposed to the overall feeling of, you know, the condensity of the whole emotion? Or would you just do one emotion at a time, like what's the most powerful emotion you're feeling,
well,
and go back to that?
We can kind of lump them together. We got, okay, you know, the hurt polarity and the anger polarity, right?
Yeah.
So deal with the hurt or the anger one at a time and release those intensities. Got to get them all out of your system and transform all the guilt into real anger and process it as real anger. And what you'll see is that the emotion is much more significant than the condition. The condition was just a mirror of what we didn't want to experience emotionally.
And on that note, thank you. What about the fact that, and these are people that are working at a, you know, a higher, usually have done a lot of this type work in the past, that are working at a higher place, or so to speak, a place of, you know, you try to work at this place from unconditional love, so to speak. Is it possible that, as opposed to always feeling anger, if you are working from a love place and and something happens, you know, conditionally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually, is it possible that the emotion truly is pure grief and sadness?
Well, of course it can be pure grief and sadness, and you need
without
to experience
it. Without any anger. I mean, without
anger. Here's the deal.
Okay.
There's only one arbiter of the reality, and that's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
If you do the processing and the reality shifts, you did a good job. If you feel like, I don't have to process anger, I just process grief, and the reality shifts, you did a good job. But if it persists and you still have that anger or that grief coming through, well, you may want to go deeper. Some people feel like, oh, well, I'll just walk away. I'll just shift my identity. I'll stop that whole thing. I can just walk away from that whole emotional space. And you know, some people can do it. Some people can just say, okay, I'm just going to shift. I'm just going to stop that whole program. I'm going to do something different. And they do. And it works. But when it doesn't work, that's when you got to say, all right, let me do the deeper work. So sure, try and do it without having to go through the anger and see how that works. If the reality shifts, you succeeded. But if the reality is persisting, you may have to go deeper on it. That's all. And I'm not, oh, by the way, you mentioned one other thing. It's not like you want to be an angry person all the time and walk around, I'm going to process my anger. No, this is a short-term job. I'm going to go in, I'm going to do the surgery, I'm going to stitch up my wounds, I'm going to heal, and I'm going to move forward. You don't live in surgery. You don't live being the person who's constantly processing the anger. You go in and out. You don't just hang out there forever, or else you're just going to create a very angry reality. But when it's needed, you want to pull the bullet out? Surgery sounds like a great idea to me. Do you want to live in surgery? I don't think so. So this is more like pulling the bullet out and dealing with the pain and the anger that I got shot, rather than, I'm just an angry person, I'm going to always process my anger. No, I'll process it when necessary. I don't like doing it. But when it comes up, I will be willing to experience everything that's there. That's what I'm talking about.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It sounded like the line went dead for a second.
Huh.
Okay. Well. Do we have any more questions?
Well, it looks like we got a blank slate at the moment, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a few other topics that I usually get to eventually. Usually I don't really get much beyond this in a day. But let's just go ahead and see if I can cover some other things. worry is anticipating anger in the future. So if I'm worried about something, I'm expecting to be angry about that thing. And so what you can do is you can turn the worry into the real anger that maybe hasn't happened yet. I expect to be angry that you're going to be late. So I'm worried you're going to be late, or but I'm expecting to be angry about it. So let me process that anger and see where that's coming from and how I can release it. So you work with the anger. Dealing with fear may be a big one. And in dealing with fear, it's really a good idea to, especially in a very bad situation, to have a plan C. What would you do if plans A and B fail? And you can write down your plan C and then put it in a drawer somewhere so you don't have to worry about it, because at least you know what you would do if everything else went to hell. So that's a good way of dealing with it. So what I'd like everybody to do is to see if you can go through the entire process today. Or if you're in an odd time zone far away, you might do it before our call tomorrow. But before the call tomorrow, see if you can take it all the way from the beginning through the explosive self-love, through all the seven steps of the process. And so now you've all done the discovery step, so you know how to find, you've already found the emotional cause. Next step, of course, is the release, and you will take it from there. Now, if anybody has any questions or would like to talk about any other issues, I'm really happy to use up all your time that you paid for. But if people don't have any questions, I've really covered the material. We have a very small, intimate class that is not, usually I can barely squeeze in the first day into the time allotted for the first day. And if you have things you'd like to talk about, I'm happy to talk with you. But if there's nothing left to cover, I can excuse you early from class, so to speak. So you let me know what you'd like, and we'll do that. And Devin, if you have any suggestions too, I'd like to hear them.
Okay, let's hear from Margaret.
Okay, good.
I have a question. If you wanted to start on a different issue,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to go through the discovery yourself,
yeah.
I know you say that when you're doing it with someone, you write down everything they're saying.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it with yourself, do you write everything down as quickly as you can and then go back, read it, and highlight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do it exactly the same way. You have no judgments at all when you're writing the words down. You try to be kind of like as unconscious as possible about what the meaning of it is. You just want to get all the words on paper. And then you look at it and try to figure it out. Sometimes it's tricky. Like I had a situation about 5 years ago where I was getting a lot of back pain. And I couldn't figure out what was going on emotionally with myself to be creating all this back pain. So I recruited Jennifer and said, okay, here, ask me the questions. And, generally back pain has to do with issues of emotional or financial support. And I was feeling emotionally supported, and I was feeling financially supported, so it didn't make any sense for me to have the back pain. But when I went through all the questions, it became clear to me that I was resentful that a friend who's about my age wasn't able to support himself, or willing, I should say. And I had a choice of either helping him or having him go homeless. So I chose to help him, but I also was resenting it, that he wasn't taking care of himself. And so I was carrying that anger around, but it wasn't the kind of anger that I expected to find. This is the nature of blind spots. And so if you can do it on yourself, that's great. It's not always easy. If you'd like to team up with other people from the class. We, and if any of you want to get connected with other people in the class, we can actually do something where those of you who want to share your email address, for example, with other people in this group, we can have Devin set something up where those of you who want that can share. And then if you want some assistance of somebody else asking you questions and helping you find emotional cause, we can make that available to you as well.
Yeah, actually, if you want to raise your hand now, I can see who is interested in connecting with others, and then I'll just send out an email with those email addresses.
Okay, we're getting a bunch of hands raised. That's great.
And I'll do that right now, too, so
okay,
as quickly
good.
As possible.
Yeah, and so this is really terrific because having other people to do this with, especially finding the emotional causes, can be very helpful and useful in helping you sort things out, because it really is tricky sometimes trying to do it for yourself. I can do it for myself, but sometimes it takes all my willingness. And this is a process that isn't for the timid or the shy. This is for people who are really willing to grow, and it'll take you all the way to your level of willingness to see how far you want to grow with this process. The exciting thing is when you get to the other side, you may well experience a self-love that is deeper than any self-love you'd ever experienced before, or even a self-love that's deeper than you could have imagined feeling before. And that's what's so really thrilling about the process. And, oh yeah, by the way, the symptoms went away. But the symptoms feel like a very small prize compared to the transformation that you've already experienced within you. Okay, any other thoughts or questions for today?
Go ahead, Margaret.
Yes, I have another question.
Sure.
You're very emotionally connected to our pet.
Yeah.
And if your pet was experiencing an illness or something like that, could you use the same process of understanding, would it be your emotional cause?
Yeah, what emotions do I feel because my pet is ill?
Okay.
And I haven't really done this much, but I think it's worth a try. It's certainly worth a try. And what are the symptoms? Well, symptoms is, you know, has to sleep all day or whatever it is. And you start working it as if it was, you know, you get creative with the process. Now, people who use self-created health make discoveries just like they do in quantum touch. And I don't feel like I know all the answers because it's still a new field that's being developed, but I'd love to hear what you discover, because I've heard about people using it with their children, and now I know somebody who used it with their car, and other people have used it with their bank accounts. And so, sure, why not? Let's do it with the pets. And what emotions do I feel because the pet is sick, you know, and so forth. And just go through the questions. And what are the symptoms, and what does it keep her from doing, and so forth. And then see how that ties in with your life and what you might shift. It may not work, but it's worth a try.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Constantina. Are you there?
Yes. I just wanted to say on that note, that's really important. I'm glad you brought that up. I work a lot with animals, and I did that, what Richard just suggested, with a cat that had MRSA of the urinary tract, and
wow.
her kidney bone went up to 130, which is pretty much supposed to be 39. You know, it's
yeah.
pretty normal for her age. And she was in a hospital out of town, like an hour away from me. And they said that the antibiotic that they would give her, because she's, I think, 19 years old or 20, would probably kill her. It was too strong. And so they wanted to euthanize her. And so I said, let me try this. And I went through pretty much this process.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my husband and I both did. We did it together because this is a kitty who lives with me but was very attached to my husband, and my husband's out of town. And so we did this process together, and I said, I'm going to come get her and treat her myself. I'd rather her, you know, pass away here with me than alone. And so we did the treatment that night for about 40 minutes, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
Going through all the emotions we both felt. And I was extremely emotional, which I usually am working with them. But my husband, you know, was pretty calm, but that's his normal demeanor. He doesn't show it. And the next day, or evening, I guess, late evening, we went to pick her up, and her bun was down to 39.
Amazing. Hey,
and she's still alive. That was a year and a half ago.
Stay in touch with Henry Virgil. She and I are going to be putting together stories for the self-created health book. That sounds like a really good one.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, and if any of you feel you've got a great story where, you know, here are the symptoms and here's what happened and here's what we discovered, we're going to be putting together a book that we're looking for all the best stories about people having had amazing experiences. So keep it in mind if you've had some amazing, and people who work with us have incredibly good experiences and start, you know, helping friends and family who are interested. It's incredible what you can discover.
Okay. Richard, do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Richard.
Hi.
Wanted to ask about finding the emotions. I wasn't too clear. Is it the same emotions that come up when you have the symptoms, or is it back to the earliest episode?
It's all of that, but the symptoms remind you of the emotions you didn't want to feel.
So you just start with those emotions and work on those.
Yeah, you work on the stuff that was, you know, in the discovery process, you look at all the emotions you had as a result of having the condition, the symptoms of the condition, the judgments of the conditions, the visual imagery of the cartoon image, and all these kind of things. They're all painting a picture of an emotional set of experiences that you didn't want to feel. That's the emotion you deal with. All that whole picture that came up from the discovery process, that's the stuff you process.
Okay. And with the judgments, does that also include any beliefs that you would have?
Well, yeah, judgments always have some beliefs in place. But still, there's a lot of emotion behind those judgments, and that's what you pay the most attention to.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, sure.
Does anybody else have some questions or a question?
Or thoughts or anything you want to talk about?
Sometimes we get more questions after people really do the full process, because then you can find where maybe you weren't quite sure or weren't clear on what the step is.
Yeah, that's really true. It comes up that way sometimes. But I think what's needed is for people to really do their process and then find out what's there.
Nancy, you have a question?
Yes. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. I'm trying to wrap my brain around the question that Richard just asked. I think what he said was, are you starting from when the symptoms began or when the when it was a long time ago?
Oh, okay.
I think that was his question. And you said all of them. And I'm still trying to figure out which one I would like to start with and what the difference might be.
Okay. So let's say I have a symptom and I track it back to the bad breakup of a relationship or the time, you know, mom locked me in the closet or whatever the story is. I want to deal with where the energy is the strongest. I want to deal with the intensity of the emotion, especially when it first took place. I'm looking for the place that has the most juice. So, if I have resonant experiences happening this week, sure, process those too. But you want to go to the causative level when the decisions got made that I couldn't be loved or that I wouldn't, you know, that I would be angry forever or whatever the issue was. You want to go to that causative level where the thing generated from. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go where the energy is the strongest.
The trigger point is a lot more easy to describe than the one that happened decades ago is kind of hard to figure out what, you know, it's much more, has much more impact, but finding the words to say what that is kind of harder. And so that's why I was trying to make the distinction. Where to start.
I totally hear you, but when you did the discovery process, and you found out, and you found that whole thing that was going on, that's really profound. That's where you want to work. You want to work in the thing that was found in that discovery.
It's just so hidden that it takes a bit of wrapping my brain around. And yeah, I do want to work with it. It's just fascinating to me that I never even thought was there, even after saying how I judged myself. I couldn't remember what I had said. I had to ask, what did I say? It was that hidden. So, but it's fascinating. It's just like, oh my gosh, I hadn't even given that a thought. I believed I hadn't even given it a thought. So,
okay.
I'll sit with it.
Would you like to look at that process for yourself for a second and see where that's going?
Okay.
So what did you discover from the discovery process?
What I see, my mind, my thinking is divided between what may have been the trigger and what discovered from the discovery process was that I felt like I was carrying around a big box of other people's garbage. That was
okay.
The cartoon. And that's
so, all right. So in the discovery process, you felt that you were carrying around other people's garbage. So,
right.
So what was the emotion that made you, that you felt from carrying around other people's garbage all the time?
Really angry about that. I said grumpy, but actually I
yeah. Okay, so you're really pissed off having to carry other people's garbage around. So,
yeah.
So processing those intense emotions about, I don't want to carry that crap around anymore. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good place to go. And just releasing it. Release it in the past, release it in the present, release it anywhere you find it. There's no wrong way to do it as long as you're doing it powerfully and passionately.
I see.
Okay. Yeah.
If I picked the one that was more recent that really made all of the symptoms show up, it would have been harder because a lot of details. Yeah.
Well, pick the one that has the most juice. Pick the one you can get most upset about. Pick the one that has the most power behind it and start there. But you realize that carrying other people's stuff around is probably something you've been having to do all your life. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the child and the inner adolescent may want to get that off their chest too, not having to always carry everybody's stuff around that way. So yeah, it may be convenient and a good place to start with what happened a year ago, but you may find it extremely valuable to go back and deal with the core element of where that whole process and program really started from.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, sure.
Does anybody else have any questions or comments?
So what we're going to do tomorrow is we will deal with all the issues that came up from you trying to do this work. So we will celebrate those who are able to take it all the way through. We will explore guidance and insights for those who found themselves being stuck in some ways or not willing or able to get through the rest of the process. And that's where that stands. And I think we've actually finished in record time today. We're a little bit early.
You have a question, it looks like.
Okay, good.
Margaret?
Yes. I was wondering, when you're doing the discovery stage,
yeah,
and you're doing it by yourself, is it possible that your own self could self-sabotage you where you think you're writing something, but it's really not what it is because your body doesn't want to heal that part?
Well, I think you can always write down what your answer is to the question. It's just the thinking it through tends to be more difficult when you are yourself, because the part of you that doesn't want to see it tends to hide that from yourself. That's why we're going to pass out all these email numbers, addresses to people who can then contact each other. When you get better at it, you do get better. And even all of you have the capacity of figuring it out right now. But it's a lot easier when you have somebody else who doesn't know you, who just lays it out right on the table in front of you and makes it really clear what you just said. And then it becomes much easier to deal with it when you have the help. But you're all capable of doing it right now. But yeah, it's hard to look at your own blind spots when you are hiding them from yourself. It's harder, but it's doable, but it's harder.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anybody else have a question? Oh, looks like we might be done.
Well, unless anybody wants to really carry on this conversation, we've really covered the material well, and tomorrow we're going to go a lot further exploring what we have. And so do your homework. Do this work in this extra time and really see if you can take it all the way through the seven steps of the process. And when you get through that forgiveness, it is one of the most glorious, wonderful experiences that you may have in this lifetime. It's really incredible. And be willing to experience the intensity of the emotion with as much gusto and power as you can, because that's what liberates the whole thing. So you got to be willing to feel what's there.
Also, if you have any questions, you know, we can do our best to look at our emails. You can email me at devon@quantumtouch.com, and that's devon@quantumtouch.com. What else was I going to say? Oh, I'm preparing that email with the email addresses, and then you can exchange phone numbers if you want it further. But I'll start with email addresses, and that'll go out in about the next 5 minutes. So,
fantastic.
Thanks for that in your email.
Okay. Well, unless anybody wants to continue the conversation, we can all say thank you and goodbye.
Yes, and we'll see you tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Right.
So do the conversion. Say bye.
Okay, well, thanks, everybody.
Oh, let's put them on there we go.
Yeah, put them all on speaker. Got them?
Have a good evening.
Hey, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
You are currently the only person in this conference.